Well, the latest map from the U.S. Drought Monitor that's out this morning still shows most of California in the deep red, signifying either extreme or exceptional drought. Same goes for parts of Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas. The island nation of Singapore is also in the midst of a dry spell. February was the driest month there since 1869. And next week, one of America's most prominent water experts will head to Singapore to speak at a conference on water. She is Patricia Mulroy, former head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority. She's currently a senior fellow for climate adaptation and environmental policy at the Brookings Institution, and she's with us from Las Vegas. Patricia Mulroy, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, how do the problems in Singapore when it comes to water compare to what you faced in Las Vegas and in Nevada? Because this is a country that is, of course, surrounded by water, but it doesn't have much fresh water.
That's correct. In fact, they were dependent mostly on a meager share of a river that they share with the country of Malaysia. And Malaysia had put them on notice that they were going to reduce the amount that Singapore could take on a certain date. So Singapore got very proactive and developed a national strategy around how they were going to manage through this and figured their easiest solution was to begin to build desalination facilities, reuse facilities. And in doing that, they ended up being quite the mecca, particularly in Asia, around water and water sustainability.
One of the things that you were able to do in Nevada is to work with private businesses and the casinos in particular on the Strip to dramatically reduce their water footprint. How did you do that?
Oh, listen, they were our greatest customers. The hotels were the early adapters. They're very pragmatic, and they fully understand that if they invest in water technology, if they change the way they operate their casinos, if they work with us, then they'll actually be ahead of the curve. And so it didn't really take that much convincing. I mean, my first conversation was with Steve Wynn, and he was phenomenal. I mean, he said, you know, tell me what I need to do and I will do it.
And that included things like putting a water recycling plant underneath that famous volcano in front of the Mirage.
Right. He put it in the basement of the parking garage, and then double-plumbed his hotel and began to use gray water in all those facilities.
And also, things like toilets that are low flush and showers that are very high efficiency?
Absolutely. And, you know, because we as a community recycle 93% of our wastewater, which is probably one of the highest percentages in the world, you know, the indoor use is never what concerned me as much. The big uses for the hotels are the evaporative coolers. And they have invested unbelievable amounts in bringing in state-of-the-art technology to make those coolers for those air conditioning systems as water efficient as possible. When I ran the Water Authority, I mean, at the end of the day, what was important to me was net usage of water. And the Las Vegas Strip, with all the hotels and all the water features, used 3% of Southern Nevada's water.
And you've said most of the water in Southern Nevada is actually wasted on people sprinkling their yards.
Yeah. And when you live in the driest city in the United States, anything you apply outside, you're going to use once and that's it. And it takes a phenomenal amount of water to keep lush vegetation alive. We're no different than Phoenix or any of the desert communities here in the desert Southwest. I mean, a lot of people from the East Coast moved here and brought with them their vegetation from where they came from. Well, it's not indigenous to the Mojave Desert, and it requires a lot of water to keep it alive. So we began to pay our customers to redo their landscaping and make it more water efficient, and it has paid huge dividends. I mean, this community was able to reduce the amount of water it used by a third in a very short period of time, to where, as the driest city in the United States, we can now boast a net water footprint of 75 gallons per person per day, which is unbelievable in a city that only is supposed to have 4 inches of rain a year, and over the last several years hasn't seen much more than one or two.
And yet, despite all that has been done in Southern Nevada, we've still got a situation where Lake Mead is running very low. How serious is the problem right now?
Well, actually, because there's been a new partnership formed, a partnership between the Water Authority, Southern California, the Metropolitan Water District there, and the Central Arizona Project and the City of Denver, a lot of efforts are going into propping up Lake Mead. We're all everybody is storing water in Lake Mead to where this year, actually, the lake is 10 feet higher than it would normally be under the hydrologic conditions that the area has been suffering under. So if there wasn't that kind of a concerted effort between all the parties, Lake, I would be very, very pessimistic. But given all the quick responses and the nimbleness, I'm very optimistic. You know, even Mexico is now a full partner in this. Even Mexico is backing off the amount of water that it's delivering and leaving it behind in Lake Mead. So you can't change what Mother Nature doles out to you. And the only way you can adapt in a complex river system like the Colorado River is by forging those kind of strategic partnerships where you work in tandem with one another and where the cumulative effect of all those efforts really pays off.
Although there has been criticism that the focus has been too much on finding water resources and not enough on conservation, and that Las Vegas' population boom in recent decades is further straining water resources there. We're speaking with Patricia Mulroy, former head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, now at the Brookings Institution. You're listening to Here and Now. This is Here and Now, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Patricia Mulroy, who until earlier this year was the head of the Southern Nevada Water Authority, and she was applauded there for getting Las Vegas casinos and hotels to lower their water use, but also criticized. In her efforts to get more water for Las Vegas, she went after unclaimed groundwater from neighboring communities. As Charles Fishman recounted in his book, The Big Thirst, one county commissioner said, "The development of rural Nevada is now dead because of Las Vegas." To which Patricia Mulroy responded, "If Las Vegas dies, Nevada dies." And Patricia Mulroy, what do you say about the criticism that the focus has been too much on getting more usable water and not enough on conservation?
Well, that's not fair. I mean, when you imagine that Southern Nevada reduced the amount of water that it's using by a third while at the same time increasing its population by almost 500,000 people, You can't do that without conservation. And the same holds true in Southern California, in Arizona, in Denver. I mean, look, if that was true, then the division between how much water agriculture uses in that river system and how much the cities use would have swung toward city usage. And it hasn't. The division between how much agriculture uses and how much the cities use really has remained unchanged.
Well, are you bothered by the amount that agriculture uses, for example?
No, because the country likes to eat. You know, that has always been one of the real quick fixes, is to say, well, let's just buy out agriculture and let's just transfer that water to urban uses where we'll get a higher return on our investment. I think that this year we're going to learn a lesson. I mean, with the drought that is ravaging California, and with what that's going to do to those food supplies that we've become so accustomed to at certain prices in grocery stores, I mean, this country is a net food exporter. And if we don't like importing oil, I'm not so sure we're going to be real comfortable importing food. So there's a balance there. But a good partnership between the agricultural community and the urban community, where the urbans invest in agricultural efficiencies, where agriculture backs off a little bit, where efficiencies are garnered by both sectors, that's the only way. We can't wipe out agriculture. I mean, there's one agricultural district on the Colorado River that's 11% of this country's fresh winter fruits and vegetables. That's not an insignificant amount.
What about things like golf courses? I was just in Palm Springs recently, and it seems that there's a golf course almost every block. They're very lush, and there's basically no rain there. Isn't something like that unsustainable?
Well, here in Southern Nevada, I mean, the golf courses pay the same as the residential users do. I mean, they don't have the benefit of old water rights where they can pump that water for free here, and so they have become very efficient. I mean, there's a difference between a golf course that uses about 12 acre feet of water per acre of golf course and one that uses, you know, 5 or 6. So are there still golf courses that can improve their efficiency? And that's really where economics come into play. I mean, a golf course that has to buy its water from an urban utility, where it doesn't buy it in bulk either from an agricultural user or where it has an old water right, I think they too will come around.
Are there forces working against water conservation in a significant way that ended up being your enemy in this fight?
Actually, no. It was quite amazing. I mean, when people understand that there is a need to change the way they're behaving, if you give them the financial help that they need in order to make those changes, you give them the education, and then you create a system where everybody's the same and where enforcement is the same and where there's no difference depending on where you live, people will respond.
Patricia Mulroy, what is the number one thing that people should be doing? If we've got listeners that are hearing this and saying, I wish that there was something I could do to be more water efficient, is there something that ordinary Americans can do?
Yes, there are a couple things. I mean, I don't think it really matters where you live in this country. I think making sure that your irrigation systems, if you've got lawn irrigation or you irrigate your trees or your plants, make sure that it's as tight and as water efficient as it can be. And then people have no idea how much water is lost by a single leaking toilet that just drips a little, or a single faucet that just drips a little. It is an enormous amount of water that gets lost that way. And we need to be aware. I mean, we've always had the luxury of being able to take water for granted. It was there for us plentifully. It was very cheaply priced. And we've never, as a country, had to worry about either volume of water or quality of water. And where we can still be very comfortable around quality of water, I think that this next century that we're living in right now, I think it's going to force us to become much more aware of the natural resources that we're using. I mean, we're aware of our power bill, but we're not very aware of water. We still, in many corners of the country, take it for granted. And it's going to be one of the most challenged resources of the next century. I mean, how do you add 2 billion people to this global population and not really start feeling the strains around freshwater supplies?
Well, do you see us adding a bunch more desalinization plants?
I think we're going to see more desalinization plants. I think we're going to see heightened technology around tightening up urban water systems. I mean, one of the things in this country that we don't like talking about is that our infrastructure around our water systems is pretty old. And in many places, it's leaking left and right. I'm not sure we can afford to do that anymore. I also think that this is a water system and a wastewater system that was built under different climate conditions and for different population bases. It's time to rethink that. It's time to reinvest in that and bring our systems into the 21st century.
That's Patricia Mulroy, former water czar of Southern Nevada. She is now a senior fellow for climate adaptation and environmental policy at the Brookings Institution. Patricia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's been a pleasure.